Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
So December is a fast moving month. I can't keep up with it. It's just like, it's crazy anymore that it is now the middle of December. The year's gone by. And remember when you were a kid, Audrey, like it seemed like years took forever to go by?
Yeah, but you have a great theory on that because you apply math to it. Though you're not even a math head.
I'm not a math. I used to like math when I was a kid.
You're terrible.
I know. I'm terrible at it now. But my whole theory of it is this. And actually, this is more of my dad. It's my dad's theory, and I'm kind of stealing it from him. But the idea is, so when you're 5 years old, a year is one-fifth of your existence, right? So when you're my age, you're 47, it's now a 47th of my existence,
right,
which is like 10 times
shorter. So you're moving
shorter.
faster.
So I'm moving 10 times faster now than I was.
Live this life.
Exactly.
As much as you can in every moment.
Exactly. And so with it speeding up, we're moving ahead. And I always like taking a little time to maybe try to slow down and be like, man, what are we doing in the future? We got to kind of like sometimes sit and just be able to kind of calculate some things out. And I know you've been thinking, I mean, you've always been huge about building international presence, about welcoming people from around the world, about experiencing sites away from Pittsburgh to bring that perspective back. One thing that really blew my mind was our own Kate Truman just came back from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Sadama, mm-hmm. Am I pronouncing that properly? Where she gave a presentation about what's going on in Pittsburgh.
Well, she was there for a whole week. And she took Gecko Robotics with her.
And she came back from this thing, and like it was so much fun seeing her perspective. Like she's just talking about
We're
all
things
Japanese.
We're not polite enough. Did she tell you that?
Exactly. Yeah, it's things like that. And I think about when I came back from...
We're not grateful enough.
Exactly. I think about when I came back from Copenhagen back in May. I was there for almost a week, and you made me go there. And not smoking cigarettes, though.
You've been out of the country three times.
Yeah, majorly out of the country three times. And each time you come back, you feel different. You feel like you want to bring that experience to what you're doing here. So I think it's a very valuable thing. And so I know you have more thoughts on what the Tech Council wants to do as far as like trying to, you know, bring that kind of push and pull of international.
Listen, you're never going to grow your company if your customers are only based in Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
Not going to happen.
No.
It's the same thing as in Israel. You're never going to grow your company if you only count on Israel being your customers.
Exactly, right.
So guess what? There's a group now that's formed in Israel, Pittsburgh-Israel relationship for business expansion opportunities.
Okay.
Well, our role at the Tech Council is to make sure that our members get access to new opportunities, expansion, strategic relationships, customers that are all around the world. They have to get to know them. They have to get closer to it. Technology is an incredible thing. There are some companies that can sit in Pittsburgh and scale, right? They can. But there are hardly any.
I know. There are hardly any
because the world is not here.
Right.
And the world being so fluid. I mean, I'm hoping in the near future that we're going to have holograms. Like,
hologram.
I'm going to have a hologram.
You need a hologram.
And
more
I'm
going to
go somewhere. Exactly. And I'm going to go, Jonathan, I'm going to be talking to folks in Berlin right now and through a hologram.
There is Audrey.
And I'm almost there. Right? we're not that far away
from it. It's pretty close.
We're not that far away from it.
Exactly.
And so as we attract smart people from all around the world to work here in Pittsburgh, in many of the places that have research and development presence here in Pittsburgh, they are citizens of the world.
Yeah.
They are not citizens of Pittsburgh. They're citizens of the world. They like being in Pittsburgh, but they want to make sure that they can go anywhere.
Exactly.
It's the same thing for those people who are building companies.
Yeah.
Okay? So if we have – who do we have on this show coming in? We have –
oh, my goodness. Today's show is just – it's chock full of guests. Let me get and see who's on our thing. So we have – actually, this is a great company to talk about. Singular. They're from Spain.
Right. And they're from Spain.
They've been developing offices across the United States and moved into Pittsburgh a couple of years ago, which is kind of exciting.
So that's a good example. So that's a company that needs to be close to some customers. Right?
That's why
so we need those kind of people here.
Right. Exactly.
We need those kind of businesses here. But what about a company that Jonathan may have started and is selling its widgets to the manufacturing industry, right? Guess what? Not all the manufacturers are located right here in our backyard. They are located in the UK. They are located in Spain. They are located in South America. We have got to be the conduit to try to help those kinds of connections. And that's why it's so important for us to be international students and ambassadors of the world.
Very much so. No, I think it's great. So what can the Tech Council be doing more of?
Well, we can be taking people more out into on missions that are strategic.
Right.
And we work with the Departments of International Trade, and they help us tremendously.
Absolutely.
The Department of International Trade out of the UK was pivotal in terms of the work that we did going into the UK.
The tech mission.
We could not have done it without them.
Back in October, that was a great trip.
We could not have done that without them. But what I think we really arrived is that we have people from all over the world that have a desk at the Tech Council.
Exactly.
They have a desk. They're here on the ground. They're trying to figure out how do they get close to some customers, some opportunities, and even use Pittsburgh as a launching pad
for
other parts of the United States.
It's a great place to do that.
To come here.
I love that
point. We develop it. And, you know, this can be a spoke for other places around the United States that are inside the core of the U.S.
It doesn't
have to be the coasts. So I think you're going to see more of that from us. You're going to see – and people who are listening should push us on that as well.
I like it. I think that's fantastic.
And we have relationships that we need to – that can benefit everyone, that can leverage these relationships. So, you know, if we're not citizens of the world, we're not citizens of Pittsburgh.
I like that. That's a good – we should coin that phrase.
Coin that phrase.
Exactly. We'll trademark it.
Okay.
It's like your tagline, Audrey. I like that.
So we have a good show coming up.
We do. I mean, so we mentioned that Singular stopping by tonight. John Dolly, he's actually coming from Birmingham. He toggles between Birmingham and Pittsburgh as they spin up the Pittsburgh office here. So he's going to give us more details as to what Singular's up to. We have Jennifer Ozidnik from BNY Mellon talking about their Women in Technology program, which I'm very excited about.
They've done a lot at BNY. They've done a lot to really try to address priorities in terms of gender parity, and particularly in tech.
She's super cool, and she's really passionate about what she does, and she's taking it. She's going the extra mile to really start creating opportunities for the next generation and really inspire, women and girls to look at technology as like something they can do and excel at and make a life out of. And, of course, we have Dan Carnevale stopping in from Eaton and their Experience Center up there in Warrendale.
Oh, I hear he has a cool gig.
Yeah, it's like Disney and stuff like that for people that are into electrical engineering.
Electrical engineers, yeah.
There's just not as much cotton candy there as you'd probably hope for. But I think it's awesome because I think Pittsburgh is like one of only five Experience Centers around the world that Eaton has. So I think that's a really cool resource that we have. And they're using that for a lot of STEM education. So they're bringing lots of kids in there to kind of show them, electrical stuff, engineering, in action, which is kind of fun. And rumor has it like a demo of like a tree falling over some power lines and what it takes to get the power back on. So I think it covers all aspects there. And I think Dan is super passionate about what he does there at Eaton. So yeah, we got a great show in front of us, Audrey. It's always so much fun telling these stories. And 2020 is more of these great stories. And to remind everybody, anytime you want to listen to Tech Vibe Radio, just go right on over to iTunes. Go over to Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, just search for Tech Vibe, and you will see a ton of content. You can really bone up on all great things happening here in the Pittsburgh area. It's a lot.
It's great.
All right, we're taking
Don't
a break.
Don't go away.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here until our first guest shows up. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, and you can learn more about us at pghtech.org. Thanks for keeping your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio. It's a Wednesday night. Best night of the week to talk all things technology, all the cool new companies coming into Pittsburgh, making stuff happen. So, just saying. This is John Kirsting, right?
Hey, this is Audrey Rousseau.
Absolutely. We got a great company. I was very excited because the new company called Singular, it's like, we're coming to Pittsburgh. I'm like, well, you're coming on Tech Vibe Radio then, so we can talk about what you're up to.
And we need to find out what you're doing. So, we have
a John Daly in the house, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for being... I love that. I love that.
It's Southern hospitality.
Yes, ma'am. I love that. And so tell us about this company.
Well, Singular started off as an international company with its roots in Spain, but we've been in the United States since 2013. They started up in Birmingham, Alabama, where I'm from.
Right.
And we had a client there, and opportunities started presenting themselves all over the United States,
right,
as well as all over the world. We came to Pittsburgh probably about 2 years ago, and started working with a client here, and really just have enjoyed working in this town and with the people here and everything along those lines. We focus on technological solutions that involve people, very much along with the Agile manifesto of focusing on people and their interactions, and not necessarily technology and processes as much, although those are important. So,
It's funny because I thought Singular was just here. I know you guys have been kind of working quietly behind the scenes, but now you're starting to kind of like make a name for yourself, which is exciting. And so the idea that you chose Pittsburgh to come here and as a place to grow, what was it about Pittsburgh that kind of brought you here?
Well, a variety of reasons. I mean, there's a lot of common between where we were in Birmingham and Pittsburgh, both steel towns reinventing themselves.
That makes a lot of sense.
Both looking to technology and medicine and new items to really kind of bring us up here. It was almost like a natural move. But really, I mean, the dynamicism of this place with all the technology, the universities that are here, Carnegie Mellon. I mean, one of the top areas.
I like this guy. I know. To tell us what's going on.
It's an exciting place. I mean, I've never seen so many Teslas on the road and everything like that.
See, that's a good sign. I think it's like a Tesla count in any region. The more Teslas you see,
that means economic prosperity.
That plus people that care about cool stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And can afford the cool stuff.
Gadget heads all over the place. Yeah,
exactly. Do you have a Tesla?
No, I don't. I wish I did.
Do you want to get a Tesla?
You got one up cheap. I will. Yeah.
So if people are listening, what kinds of problems might they be having that you could solve?
Well, so what we look at is we come into a company, look at the ecosystem they already have, and work on architecting solutions that help them to grow in ways that are kind of modular. We really focus on the idea of distributed computing software, working with microservices, if you've heard of that, mm-hmm. and message-driven events. So what we really look at doing is trying to find ways of taking people from the older monolithic-sized computer programming background that they may have had and moving them into a distributed, highly scalable architecture, and that works for people as opposed to people working for it.
Exactly. So you're talking about bringing companies into modern times, right?
Yes.
And then beyond, because you're bringing advanced technology on top of that.
Any market sector or any sector?
Well, we primarily have been focusing on financial, but all over the world we've been working in areas like medicine and transportation, and we've been working in military with VR. I mean, a bunch of different things that we have over there. But primarily in the United States, we've been focusing in the financial sector.
Very cool. Very cool. And so you've been traveling back and forth between Birmingham and Pittsburgh, as far as that goes. And it seems like your Pittsburgh knowledge is quite deep, and we like that.
Well, I love the city. And when I'm here, I'm up in Shadyside and hang out in the town. And it's, like I said, you can feel it in the air how concerned they are with, you know, building a new city and doing cool things.
Definitely.
With technology. So, yeah.
And so, I mean, obviously, Singular is part of the growth of this city. So, obviously, you guys are in a hiring mode and looking for folks, I would have to assume?
All the time.
Right.
What are you looking for? What are you looking for?
Well, I mean, we're looking for bright people. We focus on people, and that's the big thing.
Well, then I'm the only person in the room that qualifies for that.
Oh, man. Ouch.
But we're looking for developers of all backgrounds.
Okay.
We're looking for people who have technical experience in banking and in big data, AI. I mean, I know we've got a lot of students out there who may be listening, so you can definitely look us up online.
Yeah. And, what is your website?
It is www.singular.com.
Singular. Just like without the I.
Without the I. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I'm assuming you got to have a pretty cool work culture.
Oh, very
as far
cool
as that is, right? I mean, you guys are doing it right.
We bring in people from all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's, so we value diversity.
How much fun is that? You're working with people that really have been around the world, and they're here in Pittsburgh bringing their experience. Well, that's so much fun.
And, you know, every day we're opening up new opportunities. We've just opened up opportunities in Asia. We have projects in Iceland.
In Iceland?
Yeah. And we have lots in Europe as well, but also a lot in the United States in places like Dallas, Boston, New York, Birmingham, of course. And a lot of new places opening up weekly. You know, so we're looking for people.
That's exciting stuff.
That's great.
Yeah.
And so, any plans for 2020 that we should be thinking about?
Our minds are square on 2020. Audrey and I are both freaked out. We're like, we don't know how this happened.
Yeah,
but it's happening. It's a few weeks away. So yeah. Well, so what is 2020 for Singular, the company, and also Singular in Pittsburgh?
Well, I would say that, you know, the future in Pittsburgh is we're going to start looking at other industries that can use some of the cross training that we've got between financial and some of the other areas. We've also started looking at growing in doing more. We have a new brand new headquarters that we've got right in the PNC Plaza area.
Oh, good.
And it's a great place, and we're looking to start reaching out to the community, doing more community activities and bringing our skill sets into the business environment here.
Yeah. Any particular tech trends you're paying attention to? What's out there that people should be thinking about? If you're a business and you're trying to get away from those legacy systems, I mean, I know everyone's got a cloud strategy they're trying to think of. I mean, what are you really paying attention to that's kind of like on your mind?
Well, I just was at an expo here that was here a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about the pyramid that you need to be able to move into doing machine learning and to be able to automate. And we're really working on that. You've got to begin at the beginning with, you know, making sure you get your data engineering correct, that you're able to do to gather the data, to validate it, and then eventually to put it in a format that people can analyze and action on.
Okay.
And we're working on things along those lines. I think 2020 is going to be streamlining a lot of things so that data works for the people, as opposed to people working for gathering data and doing things like that.
Absolutely. Building that base, and that way you build up to having full efficiency as far as that goes.
That's great.
No, very cool stuff. Very cool stuff.
They can go to your website to get hired,
mm-hmm.
right?
And find out more about the projects that we do.
Definitely. And you're building up your capacity here in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And what's your favorite restaurant?
Well, so far, I have to say, I really like Primanti Brothers.
There you go. That's a classic, man. That's a classic.
So if anybody's got any gift certificates, I'll definitely take them.
We'll send them right to you.
That's so funny.
Love it, man.
That's serious food.
Yeah.
That is Pittsburgh's food at its core.
Yeah. Well, I discovered kielbasa and pierogies.
Wow. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, like sometimes you're not getting that in Birmingham. So you come here. I love it. I tell you what, what a pleasure talking to you, John.
A pleasure talking to you, Alta.
Great stuff, man. Singular, so glad they're here in Pittsburgh doing what they're doing. It makes me excited for 2020 because we've got great companies like that here in Pittsburgh doing this type of stuff.
Love hearing other people's perspectives about when they come to this city.
Me too.
City.
Good stuff. John, you're the best, man. And once again, singular.com without an I. Simple as that. You can learn about the employment opportunities and, of course, all the cool tech that they're doing, ways they can help your business. Simple as that. Hey, we're taking a quick break. We've got so much more tech vibe coming in front of us, Audrey. I can't wait to have some more conversations about what's making Pittsburgh a truly kick-butt city. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. You can follow us on Twitter at pghtech. Thanks for spending your Wednesday night here with us on Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
And Audrey, we get to have some cool conversations on Tech Vibe Radio. And one of the things we're really trying to put a spotlight on is really the impact of women in technology and trying to get more women engaged with tech all the way around. And so we get to nerd out on this sometimes, and we're going to do that in this very segment. I'm kind of excited about it.
All right. So we have someone in the house from BNY Mellon.
Absolutely.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Ozdenick.
Hi, Jennifer. What do you do over at BNY?
So I am a senior program project manager, and I'm really into agile methodology of project management, and I'm in the compliance technology group.
Fun.
Right. How long have you been there?
Yeah.
At BNY Mellon, I've been there almost 7 years, and in the compliance group, it's a little over a year.
Very cool.
And so what about your college experience, your academic preparation?
Yeah, so I'm Pittsburgh all the way around. So
right.
Robert Morris University.
Nice.
Very cool.
Colonials.
Right. Yes, very cool.
Go Colonials. She did the cheer for those of you.
I really loved it. And there, I actually did their integrated program. So I got my bachelor's and my master's in 5 years.
Nice. Yeah. In what?
bachelor's in information systems and master's in communication information systems.
Oh, nice.
Very cool.
Good.
Very cool.
So this is near and dear to your heart.
It really is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Love Pittsburgh.
So talk about the commitment that Bank of New York Mellon has in terms of female talent. And specifically, obviously, in tech.
Yeah, so BNY Mellon is really leading the way in terms of gender equality. And, you know, they're really committed to having more females on their board of directors. And then they're really supportive of our employee business resource groups, which WIT is a part of. And that's where I'm here to talk about today. And so WIT was founded in 2013. And it's a subgroup of WIN, which is the Women's Initiative Network, who is really focused on the advancement of all women within the bank itself. But WIT is really focused on increasing the retention, the recruitment, and the advancement of women in technology. Yeah. And we do that by providing support and resources to our women employees through career development programming, mentoring, community outreach, and partnerships.
And so you've also participated in Grace Hopper.
Yes. Yeah,
talk about that, because you've really, in terms of the region, you've really had an amazing footprint.
Yes.
There.
So we have absolutely been heavily involved in Grace Hopper. We are a partner of Anita B., and we've gone to the Grace Hopper celebration for several years. And this year specifically, we've really focused in on extending offers out on site. You know, it's a two, three-day conference. There's 20,000 women that are going to be there. So we had said we really want to get those high potential candidates in. So let's extend those offers out. And specifically for our technology campus program, which is expanding in 2020. So this past year, we had 50 candidates in the technology campus program in New York and Pittsburgh, and we're expanding that to 300 globally.
Wow. Wait, 50 to
globally?
300?
Yes.
Globally.
50 to 300 globally, and 150 of those are going to be in New York and Pittsburgh.
Holy
so that's
smokes.
That's a big difference.
That's really stepping it up.
It
like,
is. It
holy
is.
Holy mackerel.
So that's why the focus was really on let's get those offers out.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what kinds of programs inside the bank of BNY Mellon? What describe them.
Right. So we do multiple, and one of them that we pulled in this past year is a national program as well, which is the Sit With Me program through the National Center of Women
right. We know
and Information
much
Technology.
About that. It's such a cool
that.
Program.
It's
we love
such
it.
A cool program. And honestly, Red Chair Pittsburgh was really the ones that inspired us.
We have one in our lobby right now.
Ooh,
yes.
I might have to sit in that afterwards.
Absolutely.
Get my photo. So you know all about it. You sit in the chair, you take your picture, and you post it on social media with the hashtag Sit With Me. But we thought, you know what? Let's bring it into BNY Mellon. Let's highlight those women that we have.
You have to, right? You got to keep the throttle pegged on this. And
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So it's a fun way for us to celebrate who we have. And we also have weekly profiles that we post out internal to
right.
say, here are some talented women that
right.
are in your location. And here's what they have to say and why they're passionate
yeah.
about technology.
So Jennifer, having been at BNY Mellon for 7 years and you taking the lead on much of this, how's that like charged up the work environment? I'm assuming like it's getting everybody fired up. As far as that, because is it really changing the way people come to work and the way people are kind of collaborating and coming together and stuff?
Yeah, so I've seen the biggest thing for me at working at BNY Mellon is the support system, right, that we have it through Women in Technology.
Mm-hmm.
So highlighting that and getting people to understand that that is there, it's a place for them to be able to gain support if they maybe don't have it in their specific region, has been a great way to kind of recharge, like you're saying.
Definitely.
And the Red Chair itself has just kind of caught like wildfire. So we started here in Pittsburgh with 2 chairs. Now we have 7 globally. 11 globally in 7 different locations.
In 7 different locations.
Yes.
Whew, that's cool.
Yeah.
And we put our red chair when that was in our lobby. It's kind of cool because people are sitting in it and it's a good symbol. Like with the sign behind it, it reminds you that we got to be thinking about this.
It is. And everybody goes, what is that?
It creates an opportunity for a conversation, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've had many conversations carrying a red chair through our building from elevator to elevator and people going, what is that? Like, are you bringing your chair in from home? And then I get to have the conversation, which is great. And it draws awareness further.
And so, you know, there's a lot of You're talking about what happens inside BNY, but this spills out into the community. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So one of the ways that we support the women in tech is giving them the opportunity to develop new skills, right? And what's the best way to do that and to feel good about yourself other than going out in the community and supporting the community? So we've done a ton in 2019. I like to say it's our bread and butter this year. So we've been working with the Girl Scouts of Western Pennsylvania that we created a workshop around cybersecurity where we hosted 90 girls from K through fifth grade and taught them cybersecurity, and they earned a cybersecurity badge. And
oh, they get to like sew it onto their thing?
Yes, and it's a BNY Mellon patch with it.
Really?
And it's the arrow.
That's cool. That's so cool.
And it's three triangles.
So do you sell cookies now?
I don't.
Oh, come on.
I have three boys. I won't sell cookies. But
ever.
Right. But it's a great opportunity for those girls to see role models that are working at BNY Mellon and are passionate about technology. And we pull in the community further. So, you know, Robert Morris alumni, I pulled in some professors from there for them to give a workshop to the Girl Scouts as well.
How cool is it to see these girls getting, you know, their first kind of maybe taste as to what's out there and the importance of things like cybersecurity, and that it's a pathway where they can be creative and make an impact. You're probably seeing a lot of eyes lighting up as they're earning these badges, right?
Yes, they do. Like, they all come away very excited. They all have a great time. This last event we had a kudos board and a feedback board. So they would take sticky notes and post it up to give us some feedback on what they liked, what they didn't like. And they loved everything. The only thing they didn't like was the snack.
They like the snack.
Oh, you know, isn't that classic?
Yes,
in the world that we're in, we hear that a lot.
The snack was very lacking. Yes. Content great.
The content was great, but I wish we wouldn't have served the eggs that way, or I don't like muffins.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
So, you know, I asked them, they said cupcakes. I said, I'll see what I can do.
What have you learned? What have you learned about yourself and about what the issues are?
So I've really learned what I'm passionate about. And it's really supporting and developing leaders within our community and our group, which is our Women in Tech. Because, like I said, it is, you just feel good when you go and talk to the next generation about what you do and how you do it and how you got there. So I've learned that. And in terms of challenges, I do think that we just still need to keep positive and keep going, right?
Yeah.
In terms of kind of looking around us, there is small numbers of women in technology, but there is hope for the next kind of generation to kind of get pulled in, and for that to
I also feel there's like this halo effect where it charges guys up like me, like, because it's so easy to forget about what's going on through the daily grind of things. But when you see something like the Red Chair, or you hear about some Girl Scouts that are learning about cybersecurity, it gets me excited.
Oh, good.
And wants me to make sure that, like, I can go out of my way to help someone else along, or to create an opportunity where we can get people who normally wouldn't be interested in tech to say, no, this is something that you can do. You don't be intimidated by it, because you're smart as anybody else out there. Step up and have some fun.
Yeah, and honestly, that's the part I love about the Red Chair the most.
Definitely.
And what we continue to say is that it is for anyone. It is not for only women in technology.
Yeah.
Everybody uses tech.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So, you see yourself staying in technology?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes,
I do. You're not going to become like a cupcake baker at this point?
No.
To supply the Girl Scouts with
ample. I might need to have a side business.
So you see yourself, right, in terms of, because what kinds of opportunities do you see?
So for me personally, I'm passionate about pulling in the community and connecting people. I see that as an opportunity to continue to connect those dots to improve tech, to spread more word about technology. That's something that I see. And doing Agile in my day-to-day work, it is something that I love. It's inspiring teams. It's making them more effective and efficient.
And the feedback is so consistent.
That's
great.
Yes. And inspecting and adapting and living in that reality of where a project is for technology is huge, especially for a client, either external client or internal client.
Very cool stuff. Jennifer Ozdenick.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great stuff. Get us all fired up. We need to have more conversations like this, get more people inspired, more people sitting in the red chair, all that kind of fun stuff.
Yes, so, come on over anytime.
So glad you got to be a part of it today.
Yes, me too. Thank you.
Great stuff. We're taking a quick break. We've got a ton more Tech Vibe coming right your way, I swear. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. I can't believe it's almost 2020. You got to make sure the Pittsburgh Tech Council is part of your business plan for growth in the coming year. And also, anytime you want to listen to Tech Vibe Radio, just go to your favorite podcast platform and download and listen away. We have so much content up there. It's unbelievable. Great stories like this. We'll be right back. Audrey, it's that time of the show where we got to turn things up before we wind it down, if you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
You know, I like our fourth segment. It's our longest segment of the show. Yeah. It gives us an extra little bit of time to kind of nerd out with some people that are working on some really cool stuff.
And we have Dan Carnevale.
We did.
Of Eaton in the house. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Audrey. How are you?
Jonathan. Good. And what do you do at Eaton?
I think I do the best job in Eaton. And get to run the Power Systems Experience Center, Eaton's Experience Center in Pittsburgh here. Yeah. We get to show people. It's basically like Disneyland for electrical people.
Disneyland for electrical people.
So describe your day.
So, this week we're filming videos that are educational in nature for all kinds of everything from kids to adults. But a typical day, we might bring in an end user from U.S. Steel or something and talk to them about problems they're having in their facilities or new designs and talk about, how to do things electrically, new, different, better, with all the new, kind of Internet of Things and everything that's kind of changing. The industry is really evolving, so we get to do a lot of that. Next week, we'll actually have 500 kids coming in for STEM events.
Right, oh, that kind of fun stuff, right?
So that's other things that I do, but I manage the facility and I get to really tie in everything that people like, want to learn about electrical systems.
Yeah. So give us some top things that you think most people don't know.
Yeah. Because Eaton does so much cool, crazy stuff. And being able to showcase it's got to be a lot of fun. And I'm sure some of that stuff is we're not even thinking about it. So, yeah.
What might we be surprised about?
Well, I think the microgrid things are probably some of the most interesting things, which is, a microgrid is basically taking, yes, you have the utility source, but you could also use, solar, wind, battery storage.
We just had the airport on the show, and they're doing their own microgrid where they're using gas and solar to power the terminal, which is going to be pretty exciting stuff. There's got to be some Eaton technology somewhere in there, I'd have to assume.
Yeah. We do. We're working, with people like the airport, and we're working with other, companies that are looking to, make sure that they have power available for resiliency or for cost savings, and the other things I think are really interesting are a lot of the devices that we see nowadays are, everything's connected, connectivity. Right. And again, the Internet of Things, right? So how can a circuit breaker now talk to, look at what's going on in your refrigerator and tell you before something bad happens that maybe it's going to fail?
Yeah. I don't want to know what I need in my refrigerator, but I do want to know about the failure issues.
Right.
Definitely. Well, we did something really fun with you guys back in the summer. You were part of our Tesla road trip 2.0 and the whole home charging thing and the smart breakers, the circuits that you guys are putting in so people can safely charge their cars.
Yeah.
And there's some really cool technology around that I think is just fascinating, which is why I think Eaton's behind all these things where we don't even know where they're hanging out. And so having this experience center is just so cool to be able to highlight this.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is I think we do everything from generation to the plug. I mean, we talk about everything from the utility side all the way down to the plug in your house. And I think that's the thing that people don't necessarily recognize the name Eaton for. If you talk about Westinghouse in Pittsburgh, we have a lot of roots here, obviously, and that's a lot of the things that came with Westinghouse for that. We do a lot of things with data centers. When you see, when you think about Pittsburgh and you think about steel mills, it takes 100 megawatts to make steel. Some of the data centers we're working on are probably on the order of 150 megawatts.
Wait, so that's such a cool comparison. I never thought about that.
Wow. So data centers are bigger hogs.
Yeah, they're using steel. All kinds of power. And if you think about it, what's really interesting about them is They actually are kind of 100% inefficient. You put all this power into them, and there's
right, nothing's coming
that comes
right
out of it.
There's some great tweets that come out of that. Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But that's I like hearing that context. Yeah, it's really, really cool as far as it is. Now, earlier you mentioned before that you have a group of kids stopping out STEM stuff, and this is a big deal for Eaton. I want to talk a little bit more about that and the skills gaps and how Eaton is addressing that, and really being able to use the Experience Center as this demonstration area to get people fired up and to show them the opportunities that are out there.
Yeah, I love it. It's absolutely fun to see these kids get excited about it. And what happens is, I think kids, they say around eighth grade, you've already kind of made a decision about what you might want to be. And a lot of them don't even know necessarily what options they have. So we work a lot with the IBEW, and we work a lot with the University of Pittsburgh and other universities. And in looking at them at that point in their career, we want to catch them early. So fourth grade through eighth grade, you know, sometime
critical
in there in high
times,
school.
Yeah.
To make sure they see
get them while they're young and impressionable.
Do you ever track any of those kids? Do any of those kids come back and say, "Hey,
you saved my life"?
We do. I mean, we hear from a lot of the kids, and we have a lot of kids who want to shadow us and stuff and come to the Experience Center because it really is kind of fun. I mean, if you think about electricity, you can't see it, you can't hear it, you know, you shouldn't smell or taste it or whatever. All their senses don't work with it, but when something bad happens, we
know
about it. So this is what we teach the kids: is like, you know, normal stuff is behind the walls, and you don't even know what it is. It just happens to be there. But when you think about, like, what it's actually doing, we imagine living without it. So one of the questions we'll ask them next week: what are 10 things you wouldn't want to do, you know, if you didn't have or you couldn't do without electricity? So those kind of things.
Wow. So how long have you been at Eaton?
I've been with Eaton since 1998, and Westinghouse before that, but sort of the similar kind of background with chasing down power problems. And then I got into this Experience Center thing in 2005, and we've been growing it ever since. We get about 7,000 people through a year here, and about 9,000 in Houston, and we really use these Experience Centers to elevate sort of the industry, the education, the industry. So,
and I think it's
so
cool.
That should be like a tour stop.
It should be. It should be.
Do we have that, like, as a docent? Are you like a...
Well, we have... Yeah, we do. I mean, we have a lot of groups coming in. There's groups actually this week with a bunch of people from sustainability group in Pittsburgh here that's coming through and other things. So we see different, you know, other venues, people that are places, a venue for, you know, teaching people about things that, you know, they might not be able to learn otherwise.
And it's so cool that Pittsburgh has this because there's only a few. There's like one in Atlanta and Houston and some other locations. And so to have one here in Pittsburgh is kind of cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's where, again, we can kind of talk to people about safety and reliability and efficiency and things that they're kind of concerned with and try to help them save some money but also keep people safe. And that's the part about electricity that's most important, I think, is that. So we really focus a lot on that as well.
And so are you hiring now?
We are. I mean, not in my Experience Center, I would say, I mean, I'd love to hire you, but no.
I know.
Audrey wants to lead some tours.
I know. But no, actually.
And I'll just tell the kids to stay off drugs. Yeah, exactly.
We have three PhD students from Pitt right now working for me, and it's fun for them, you know what I mean? So they're learning. What's interesting about engineering students is they don't get to see the physical stuff. So the Experience Center is all about hands-on. Like,
that's a really cool point because everything they're doing, they're designing stuff, but they're not. It's on paper or it's on a CAD system. But to actually see it in action, in operation, is shocking to them, right?
I had to say it.
But anyhow. Yeah.
But and then the other part of it.
I had to do it.
The other part is the electricians always tell me the same thing. You know, they, like the Local 5 here, we work a lot with them, and they'll say, well, it's not that we don't know what the stuff looks like, but right before the power is turned on, let's say we built a new stadium or something like that, we go to the next job site. So we never get to see it actually work. And so the application side is what they're looking for. So there's always something that we could teach somebody in the electrical industry.
That makes total sense.
And so how did your career start?
Well, I started with a group that was part of Westinghouse, and I was doing troubleshooting for utility power systems, and then moved to that part got sold, and I moved to another part of Westinghouse that did industrial commercial systems. And so it was always trying to figure out problems for customers. Then I learned how to, well, after you do things for a while like that, you become a trainer of doing the things like that, right? So then I started doing these little suitcase demos, and I bring them to a hotel in Seattle and Portland and, you know, Chicago and all those.
Right.
And it got to be pretty cumbersome because I'm doing 50 of these a year. And I sort of just kind of did a beg, borrow, steal deal when I said, look, if I build a facility where we, you know, can pull all this together, we could just bring customers to us and we'll do full scale.
No more suitcases here. Come on. Yeah, exactly.
And so it's really been awesome. I couldn't, that's what I said, I couldn't ask for a better job. I mean, it's so right. fun, and you just see that people light up and they get excited about
it. Because it's so hands-on, and you're actually, yeah, it becomes not, it's not just theory and practice, but it's like you're seeing these things great. Actually there and working.
So you've been doing this for 14 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully 14 more.
There you go.
Or whatever it is. Maybe.
Help a small electrical business on the side.
Yeah, but it's been great. I've had a great time with it.
Very cool. We have a few minutes left.
And so what advice would you give people, like young people who are, thinking about their careers?
Yeah, I think about that a lot. I think that there's a lot of self-starters, and I see this a lot with the kids that I work with. I especially work a lot with, early college career and early career people, and I say to them, a lot of this is in your hands. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube. There's a lot of things that are good and bad, but, I mean, you have to kind of be willing to go out and look to try to figure that out, and this is where we're trying to pull things in like we do the young education training for consultants called Power Up, and we just had one last week. Kids from Cincinnati and so forth. They say kids, but just out of college.
Right. I call them kids.
But they basically have to kind of be motivated to get themselves further in their career and right away, because there's not a lot of mentorship, because everybody's around them is retiring. And I've seen it in our company. I mean, I probably went to 4 retirement parties in the last 3 months. So my advice would be to kind of be a self-motivated sponge that just looks for all kinds of information and try to be, try to learn something that nobody else knows. And there's a lot of information out there. So,
Great stuff all the way around. And so with the show being so close to the beginning of 2020, Audrey and I have been on this theme. What are you thinking about as 2020 kind of progresses and how the Experience Center is going to play a bigger and bigger role and really showing different people the opportunities that are out there?
Well, we've been asked by a lot of different locations here in Pittsburgh and things to help them create more experiential kind of learning, mm-hmm. right? So that's where we're trying to help. And we're actually working with Buffalo on their workforce development program as well. So there's a lot of people that are trying to do that. So as we look forward to try to get people trying to figure out how hands-on can play into their role, into training and figure out how to make them better engineers, electricians, people that are running buildings and facilities.
Absolutely. Dan Caravalli.
Thank you.
From Eaton.
Thank you.
And website. People want to learn more. Where can they go and just kind of nerd out on this stuff?
So two websites I'm going to point out. One is the Experience Center website, where there's a bunch of videos. So that's just eaton.com/experience. And the other one is about the next generation training. And that's a simple one too. eaton.com/next-gen-education. So if you go to those websites, you'll find all kinds of information.
Great.
And welcome questions and look for more on there.
Love it. So glad you're here in Pittsburgh doing what you're doing, because it's making a huge impact. It's good stuff.
Appreciate it.
All the way around. All right, another Tech Vibe under the belt. I know people out there, they get a little weirded out when they can't listen to Tech Vibe on a Wednesday night. But I tell them, don't freak out. Download. Go to any podcast platform. I don't care where you go. It could be Deezer for all I know. But most people go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play,
you can hear
Spotify,
hundreds of
the
interviews.
List goes on. Yep, they're all there. Just search for Tech Vibe Radio, and you can hear our beautiful voices and our guests.
And our stories.
Anyhow, thanks for tuning in to Tech Vibe. We do appreciate it. This is Jonathan Kirshning.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org, and have an awesome evening.